was it? I hit the button. And welcome back into Cover 2, everybody. Joe Bianchino and Pierce Bricks. Bricks, a sad Monday night for the two of us. We're both Giant fans, as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And a loss to the Redskins, which was just a weird game. Everybody afterwards talking about how, oh, RG3, look at what he did to the defense. Best guy in the world. And really, I mean, his team scored 17 points, 7 of which came off of a fumble that just happened to hit his guy.
In perfect stride.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it fell into his lap.
Friend of the show, Stevie Brown, with the best worst play of his career, causing a fumble in the red zone, but it just happens to jump into Josh Morgan's hands and he can run in for a touchdown.
The Giants need to put the ball in the end zone. The Giants drove virtually every time they got the ball for the first three quarters, the first 2.5 quarters of that game, and it's almost like they refuse to put the ball in the end zone.
Take out the penalties. Which were a huge story of the game that I think got overlooked by national media. But take away the Giant penalties on the offensive line. And the offensive line dominated for the Giants. I mean, they were just smashing people up front, open and running lanes. Eli had time to throw. That Giant offense looked fantastic until they got to the 15-yard line.
Yeah, and you know, there were two issues there. You know, in the second half of the game, Kevin Gilbride uncharacteristically went away from the pass and just ran the ball more than he should have. Which has not been the way he's been, you know, been erring on the wrong side in terms of passing too much thus far this season.
And this is something that happens with Gilbride. This has become a nasty trend with the Giants. And we all know that typically when the Giants need a play, they make the play. And I'm talking like the last 2 minutes they're down. They need that play. Eli makes the play.
Which happened in this game, but it was called back due to a hold.
But in other games, this game especially, when the Giants should make a play, when they're like, man, we would really want a big play, they don't ever come up with it. You know, like the Redskins score, or let's go back a couple weeks. Dallas Cowboy game. The Giants have a big, like 20-point lead. The Cowboys score 2 touchdowns. Now the Giants are up 6. And everyone's like, all right. Giants should really, I mean, they kind of need a good drive here. 3-and-out, take 12 seconds off the clock, kick it.
Absolutely. And
that's, I mean, that's a nasty trend.
Even more frustrating is in the first quarter and in the second quarter, they are storming the castle consistently and getting stopped at the moat.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, there's a puddle of water, I'm done. I don't know if it's because they're getting pinched with the fact that they can't threaten, you know, to stretch the field on a big play. But when you have a big physical guy in Akeem Nicks, who you can throw it up to, a big physical guy in Martellus Bennett, who you can throw it up to, or hit in the middle, and a slot receiver that's supposed to be elite, and I'm beginning to question it, in Victor Cruz, you should be able to score consistently and effectively inside the red zone. Not to mention the fact that Ahmad Bradshaw is running like it's 2008.
Yeah.
Like it's earth, wind, and fire.
He's running like a guy who almost lost his job earlier in the season to a guy nobody's ever heard of in Andre Brown. I mean, but the I think, and this isn't always the problem, but at times I think Kevin Gilbride can get too cute with his play calling. Like there's no need to first and 15 break out the wide receiver screen that we've never seen before. like that's just unnecessary. Just jam the ball down their throat. That's worked for 80 yards, man. Do it again. So that I think the Giants kind of get into that sometimes. I don't know what it is, but you're right. Not being able to score touchdowns is something that has kept a lot of games that shouldn't have been close this year, and it lost them that game. It lost them that game Monday night. And Zach Diassi.
Terrible,
snap the ball,
terrible
man.
Snap by Diassi.
Snap the ball, brother. Come on. Come on now.
I still think that, listen, Steve Weatherford did a fantastic job taking that bad snap and putting it down in time for Larry Tynes to kick it. I give half the blame to Diassi. Larry should still put that through the uprights.
He's got it. Especially there. Out of the game, Antrell Roll comes out and not surprisingly, talks. Says the Giants gave too much praise to RG3 before the game. JPP kind of echoed it, said that we were soft. You know, whatever. Sometimes Giant defensive players talk. It's what they kind of do now.
I don't disagree with that, but don't tell me, you know, what you said before the game is the reason you played. You underperformed during the game, and I don't even want to say they played terribly because
they gave up
17 points.
They gave up 17 points, 7 of which were a fluke. I mean, you know, What are you going to say about the defense? Not everybody played great. That defensive line did not play well. But, I mean, listen, whatever. It's not a bad. By the way, Chase Blackburn is the man.
Chase Blackburn, another timely forced turnover.
Again and again, making a case for what I've said the past couple weeks, that he has been the most consistent and best defensive player for the Giants in 2012.
And that's a problem.
That is a problem, but it's a fact right
going
now.
Going forward, you know, I would like to see the Giants keep Chase Blackburn. The Giants are going to need a fast lateral middle linebacker that can take up that amount of space going forward against RG3 so that outside linebackers can really key on him and make sure he doesn't extend plays, run for big, you know,
by
big
the way,
gains.
They need a healthy, fast linebacker, Keith Rivers. Looking to you.
Okay, yes. Listen, Keith Rivers.
I mean, he's Mr. Glass. He's a huge piece to that. I think that defense changes entirely if Rivers can be in the lineup and be healthy. He just isn't. And that's, I mean, look, they took a shot with Rivers acquiring him. I still say it was a good trade. If he ever gets healthy, I think
when he's on
great.
The field, he's good.
Right, right.
When he's on the field, he's in the middle of the action.
Yeah. So Saints coming up this weekend. Drew Brees, author of the 741 beatdown of the Giants last year on Monday Night Football.
Indoors.
Now they come to MetLife Stadium. Saints struggling. Look, Giants should win. Giants got to win. That's the way you look at it. They have to go into the – they don't have to, but this is a big game.
No, they have to, because after this, this is aside from the Eagles at the end of the year, which is a division game, and the Giants have problems in divisional games. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're probably looking at Nick Foles, and if the Giants can't beat Nick Foles with their back against the wall, that's an embarrassment. But they need to win this game, because after this game, they are playing the best team in the NFC in the Atlanta Falcons, and they are playing the Baltimore Ravens. Those are two tough teams. I think that they're both teams that the Giants can beat.
I think they're both beatable. Correct.
I believe that the Falcons are constructed in a very similar fashion to how the Saints were constructed last year, where you don't want to play them indoors because it's an arcade game indoors.
Yeah.
And the Giants are going to Falconland to face that team.
Look, I just think the Saints' defense is nothing special. The Giants should be able to do work there. You hope Kenny Phillips is back. I mean, look, there's a Giant defense that, with Kenny Phillips healthy, held the Green Bay Packers to 10 points. You telling me they can't do that to Drew Brees?
It's all about sacking the quarterback. It's, you know, and a lot of those sacks on Aaron Rodgers, when they just hammered Aaron Rodgers, were due to two things. One, they got points on the board,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, the Packers, who can't run the ball, basically gave up the intent to run the ball so you could pin your ears back. And B, a lot of coverage sacks.
Right. Coverage
sacks. They played great in the secondary
in that game.
You're going to need to do that against Drew Brees. You're definitely going to need to do that against Matt Ryan. The Giants have a gauntlet. The Redskins, who are hot on their tails, have a relatively easy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Following this week's game against Baltimore, I'm going to be intently watching that Baltimore vs. Redskin game, because that is a huge, huge potential breathing room making game, I guess. I can't not articulating that.
Right.
It's a big game for the
Giants.
It's
a big game. Big game. Big weekend. A lot of good stuff. We'll leave off the Giants. We'll more about them Sunday, obviously. Let's get to the New York Jets. Pierce Pricks, who named Mark Sanchez their starter after Greg McElroy came in, led the Jets to their only offensive score in what was the most brutal NFL game in the history of NFL games, 7-6 over the Cardinals. For a while, it looked like first pick six wins the game. Ends up being a Greg McElroy touchdown pass to Cumberland, gets the job done. Come back out. Rex Ryan says Sanchez is the starter. I don't like the move. I've said before, I think it's McElroy time, but I understand. Look, I think Sanchez is gone regardless, but Mr. T is looking at an $8 million contract that Sanchez has next year that they're not going to be able to unload. They've got a lot of contracts coming. They're going to have salary cap issues in the next couple years. Are we at a point? Is Sanchez really going to stay?
I don't know about that. But my question is, listen, if I'm Alex Smith and I'm throwing at a 70% clip and I just made the NFC Championship game and you bench me because I got injured, I got a problem. If I'm Mark Sanchez and I look at what I've been doing and I'm throwing a ridiculous amount of interceptions, I'm barely completing 50% of my passes, my team is losing, and I get sat down for a couple of games, I have no problem. What I'm doing is I'm taking that, I'm eating it, I'm building, and if they put me back in, I'm going to be a better quarterback. I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, you guys disrespected me, I'm never going to play for this. I think it's a ludicrous notion that if you bench Sanchez here, his time in New York is 100% done. It's not done. He's getting paid if they decide to pay him.
He's
getting to play if they decide to play him.
I don't think the next couple weeks is going to decide whether or not Sanchez is here. I think he's already gone. I think you're going to create a poisonous, even more of a poisonous situation around the organization than it has already been created if Sanchez stays. I understand, I guess, that they don't think numbers-wise they can get rid of him, and so you're trying to get him right. But look, the Seahawks just gave, I think, $10 million to Matt Flynn in their bench, right? Sometimes when you got a younger guy making less money, you put him in because he's better for the club. You have to find out what McElroy can do because you're a terrible team right now. You're not going anywhere. And the way it looks right now, if you do have all these money issues, doesn't look like you're going to be a lot better next year. So see what McElroy can do. I don't think this is not Sanchez time. This is a bad decision.
I agree. Listen, are they mathematically eligible for the postseason still? They're in the hunt, yes.
Right, but they need help.
Mark Sanchez isn't winning you games. Mark Sanchez has earned... I wouldn't look at it like Greg McElroy is great. He's a highly touted prospect. He came in and went 5-for-9, therefore he should start.
Right, he didn't have a great game.
I'm not saying he necessarily... He didn't not earn the right for playing time. He played pretty well. He won the game.
Right.
But Mark Sanchez has earned himself a benching. And when you have a young guy, you want to see if he's... Listen, I don't buy McElroy's stock. I'm not saying he's the next coming of... Vinny Testaverde.
We don't know what McElroy's stock is.
Exactly.
It's not value.
So now I can't buy it or sell it.
I got to figure out what it is first.
And I love how people say, well, listen, they're going against the Jaguars. You really can't evaluate anything against the Jaguars. But if they were going up against the Baltimore Ravens, you'd say, oh, you can't throw this rookie up against the Baltimore Ravens.
It's an NFL team, and you're the Jets, by the way. You're on the Jaguars level.
And if you're a young guy who's not a rookie, he's in his second season, who's studied the system for a while, who's put some work in, if you're a young guy, you want to take that guy and you want to put him in a winnable game, in a game where he can maybe do some stuff, build some confidence, get into a rhythm, where the Jaguars... This is a perfect time to put him in. If he's terrible, you can then sell your fan base. You can sell Mark Sanchez. You can sell your locker room that, listen, Mark Sanchez is our guy. We tried the other guy. We're not trying the dude who can't throw.
Yeah.
We're going to put Mark Sanchez back in the game.
I feel bad for Tebow, man. The dude just wants to ball, and he's stuck in this circus. He wanted no part of this to begin with.
Well, he technically did want a part. He could have gone to the Jaguars, and he decided to go to the Jets, but I think he decided to go to the Jets because he was verbally guaranteed more playing time than he has gotten by Woody Johnson. There's no doubt that Tim Tebow has been slighted in this whole situation. However, if I'm the Jets and I'm going to put in a different quarterback, I'm going to put in Greg McElroy.
Yeah, because you have to see what you've got.
Exactly, and you don't have time to readjust your offense at this point. And Tim Tebow, whether or not you believe he can be effective as a quarterback, would run a unique style of offense that you need to restructure.
Telling you, Tebow to the Bills, run the full-time Wildcat with C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson.
I would be interested in seeing that.
It would be interesting. Probably suck, but it would be really interesting to see. See a wing back with Tebow, Fred Jackson, and C.J. Spiller. It would be fantastic. Up next, we'll get into a little bit more NBA, little MLB, little NFL, little MMA, and Steven Seagal, little sitcom. It's our Hodgepodge Segment 3 up next in Cover 2.